Okay, so welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to me. Anyway, there's a very big event. I don't know if you heard, a Chazak event on Sunday, Mitzvah Shem in Queens. I think they sold out, but we might have a couple, Rabbi Pesach Kron, Charlie Harari, and myself, Mitzvah Shem. I don't know, the event, the advertising, I think I'm speaking at 9, so Charlie's probably speaking at 8:15, and Rabbi Kron's probably speaking at 7:30. Something of that sort. Okay, so really, normally, usually, I speak about Pesach the next couple of weeks, you know, before Pesach. But we're going to go in a little bit different direction because Lemaisa, there's a halacha like this. The halacha is that if you have Adar Sheni, right? So if you have Adar Sheni has to be, if you have an extra month, it has to be Adar Sheni because the Geula, they have to be next to each other. The Geula of Purim and the Geula of Nisan, the Geula of Pesach have to be next to each other. Why? Why do the two Geulas have to be next to each other? Sukkot doesn't have to be next to anything and Shavuot doesn't have to be next to anything. Why do they have to be next to each other? So I'm, in my mind, I'm thinking that there's something you have to have, you have to finish in Adar, and you have to take that into Nisan in order to sit by the Seder, in order to sit by Pesach. What is that? What is it that you need to take from Purim, right, and bring it and bring it into Pesach? There are, of course, some similarities. Wine, we see that wine's a very big item. The sudas of yayin that she made that for Haman and for Achshverosh and for Haman, and we see that there's a halacha that you're supposed to drink wine on Purim, not whiskey, but you're supposed to drink wine, and we know that you're also supposed to drink wine. Pesach night, there's some very interesting similarities. But Lemaisa, what's the driving force that they have to be next to each other? What is so I wasn't here really for last week for Purim, and I didn't get a chance to really explain what Purim is all about. And if you don't know what Purim is really all about, if you what you're taking into Nisan is getting drunk and partying, then you totally missed the point of what Purim is all about. But we know that you have to have Purim before Pesach. You have to. They have to be next to each other. So tonight I'm going to introduce something new, something very big that I'm very excited about. And tonight's the first time that I'm really talking about it publicly. I think we might be able to make a Klal Yisrael changing, mamash to change Klal Yisrael in a very big way. And we're going to talk about it, and that's what tonight's shiur is all about. So I'm going to do a lot of reading from the inside. I spent a lot of time, learned a lot of Medrash. And so you'll have to excuse me if I'm not looking at the camera all the time. But it's very, 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 very important what we're going to learn. So it says like this. We spoke about it a little bit before I left, but we're going to go into it much deeper. Amar Pinchas. So Rav Pinchas says the following. Oy davar tov hayaboy. There was another good thing about Achashverosh. B'chol misha hayo oysa boy tova hayakasva. Whenever a person did him something, did Achashverosh someone something good, he would write it down, which is interesting, because we had to make a tikkun for that, which I'll tell you in a minute. The Sefer HaZichronos, in his Sefer, in his book of Zichronos, Loi rakas ha-tovah shenitzchah, Loi, not only what the person did good for him, elagam es misha asa, who did it for him, what he did, and who did it for him. Why? Big words. Kidei. Lahakir loy taiva. Listen to what the Medrash is saying over here. Why did he write it down? Kidei lahakir loy taiva. In order to do good back to the person who did for him. That's why he wrote it down for. Psh. Crazy midah for an Achashverosh. So he wrote it down, not so I should have a book of memories, but that I have to do something good back to that person. In fact, in the sixth parak, if you look at what it says, it's amazing. Listen, I had 6 days to think, to learn. Right? He could not sleep, which also the Medrash says, and the Zohar says, is talking about Hashem, because it doesn't say Shnas HaMelech Achashverosh. It doesn't say the sleep of Achashverosh. It says the king could not sleep. So the Zohar says it's talking about Hashem. Not that Hashem sleeps, but he wrote Gzera. He couldn't, Hashem didn't want to leave the Gzera, but he was in his din. He was in his Kisei Shel Din when he wrote the Gzera. But that night, Hakadosh Baruch Hu just couldn't destroy Klai Yisrael, right? So, Amar lo havi sefer zechrinis. So he said, bring the sefer zechrinis. Divrei Yamin. And they found inside what Mordechai did for Bigson of Seresh. What did the king say right away? What bothered him about that story?
What was his
reward? That's not a reward. What did we do special and great? He didn't say, so did we give money? Did we repay him? Yikar ugdula. What did we do? Yikar ugdula to Mordechai al zeh. To Mordechai on this. We didn't do anything. Think about yikar ugdula. We didn't do anything. Isaiah says that Kosh Baruch Hu opened up his sefer Zechreinais. And he saw Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the Avos and the Brith Ben Absarim and all the promises that he made for us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, so how can we do this? We can't do this. We can't destroy Klal Yisrael. So there's a very huge lesson here. And the lesson is from a goy. And it says that saved, the Medrash said that saved Achashverosh's life. Because he was just as bad as Haman and everything else. Maybe worse. And he wanted this Klal Yisrael to be destroyed just as much as Haman. And he's the one who took out the Beis HaMikdash? The Caleb of the Beis HaMikdash. He was very, very bad. And he should have been killed. And he shouldn't have been marrying Esther. And he shouldn't be having a Jewish baby from Esther. All that shouldn't have happened. Why did that happen? For one reason. He had a Karas HaTov. Hashem doesn't destroy a Karas HaTov. But now we have a problem. What's our problem, everybody? As much as that's a very great thing, as much as it's a great thing, what Achashverosh did, but that's very bad for us, the Jews. Because it's a kitrug on us. If Achashverosh wrote everything down in his book and was so into Akaras Toiv, he wanted to know, my Yikar Gdula, what greatness did I give back to this person? So we don't do that. We don't write things in a book. So it's a very big kitrug on Klai Yisrael, what he did. That he did that and we didn't do that. So Mordechai and Esther had to fix it. So if you look at the end, unbelievable, at the end of Megillas Esther, Mordechai said, you know what? It's very nice we got saved, but well, we learned a big lesson here from a guy, from an Achashverosh, we have to do a tikkun. So it says in Pasuk, Chaf, Vayichtoiv Mordechai es hadvarim ha'ela. So Mordechai said, we have to write down what Hashem did for us. So Vayichtoiv Mordechai es hadvarim ha'ela, Vayishlach svarim al kol Yehudim, shebekol medinos. He wrote it down in the Sefer, specifically he wrote it down, like Achashverosh did, and he sent svarim to all the Yehudim, l'kayim aleihem, u'yoyis oisim et yamar ba'asim chosh adav, v'tem chosh adavoy, v'chol shana v'shana. You have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single year. Okay? It doesn't say anything about Esther. It just says Mordechai. If you go weiter, very interesting. In Pasuk Chav Tes, 9 psukim later, Atichtoiv Esther Hamalka, Basavechayo, Mordechai HaYehudi, already said he wrote it. It says that Esther Hamalka wrote it down, and Mordechai HaYehudi, it's called Tugger the Kabbalah, the Gerzah, Purim, Mazay Shadis, Vishach Svala, Kol Yehudim. Again, they sent it out. The Kaimis may have Purim. Ha'elub is my name. Keshkim, Mordechai, Yehudi, Rest, Amal, Keshkim, right? Umay, my Esther, Kiyim, Dibre, Purim, Ha'elub, Nichta, B'Sefer. It ends. The Nichta, B'Sefer was written in a book. And then it goes into the Yasam, Amalach, Achashverosh. He put a tax on everybody. So, specifically, Esther wrote it down and told everyone they have to keep Purim. And Mordechai wrote it down and told them they have to keep Purim. And that was the tikkun that Achashverosh did, that every single year you have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the whole nace came from HaKadosh HaTov, every single year you have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh HaTov. You cannot come into Pesach and sit at a Seder if you don't have HaKadosh HaTov. Because Lamaisa, you sit by the Seder and you say, if I wouldn't be, I feel like I'm in Mitzrayim. The whole basis of the Seder, if you break down the Seder, is Hakaras HaToyv. It's appreciation that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and he gave the Makos and Makos Bechayros and the Matzah and the Korban Pesach and by Yomar with Chayim, they made it bitter and Hashem saved us. The whole Pesach is based on what all the Dayanos is the biggest. Is the big, right, and it's you know, we sing it as a joke, but it's known to be maybe the holiest prayer in the whole Haggadah. And you end on Shabbos Haggadah, when you read the Haggadah, the Ashkenazim's are minute to read the Haggadah, that's where you finish by the Dayenu's. He's very right. The Dayenu is like the most amazing story of Hakaras HaToyv, because you really didn't get me there yet. You just, you know, if you read all the Dayenu's, if I came to Arsina, you didn't give me the Torah, thank you. Thank you for what? You brought me to the Verizon store and you didn't buy me a phone. Thank you. If you would have just brought me to the Verizon store and you didn't buy me a phone, good enough. Yeah, which kid says that, huh? Hello? You know, you brought me to the showroom, I saw all the cars, but you didn't buy it for me. It's good enough, Dayenu. Because the Maestro Dayenu, for whatever you, Hakaras HaToyv is based on whatever you did for me. You got me to the Har. Okay, I didn't get the Torah, but at least I got to the Har, the Kedusha Har. Each Dayenu has an answer. So these two Geulas, right? So if you're able to have a Hakaras HaToyv to thank somebody for the things that are not in the open, because Purim is the Nister, it can't work the other way around. If you had Pesach first, right, your lesson would be to thank Hashem for miracles. That's not going to lead me into, oh, surely if I thank Hashem for miracles, surely I'm going to thank Hashem that I can taste the soda that I'm drinking. No. If you're thank Hashem for the things you see, doesn't mean automatically you're going to thank Hashem for the things you don't see. But if you're able to thank Hashem on Purim and come to a level where you're able to thank Hashem for Nister, where Hashem's name is not mentioned, where it could have just been a Persian story, and you're able to look into it and say, no, there's much more going on over here, and thank Hashem for Nister, surely you'll be able to come into Nisan and sit around the Seder and thank Hashem for Nigla, not the other way around. So Purim has to come before Pesach. Adar has to come before Nisan. And that's the basis of Yiddishkeit, that's the basis of Mamish, everything. And it's the basis, if you really think about it, of every Yantav. Chanukah is Hakaras HaToyv on the Neiris and on the war. Purim is Hakaras HaToyv on the Nister. Pesach is Hakaras HaToyv on Mitzrayim. Shavuot is Hakaras HaToyv on getting the what's it called, the Luchos and Matan Torah. Sukkot is Hakaras HaToyv that Hashem Baruch Hu took us and he covered us with all the clouds that we were able to walk in the desert, and we were able to clean our clothing, we were able in the temperature. Every Yantav that we celebrate is based on Hakaras HaToyv. Yom Kippur is a huge Hakaras HaToyv on Yom Kippur. Why? Why is Yom Kippur a double Shabbos? Why is it like a Yantav? Because Yom Kippur, because Baruch gives you a crazy present that you can do something wrong a whole year, and then you can wash it away. Try and do that to a person. Try to beat him up a whole year, and then just say you're sorry one day, and fast, and he'll forgive you for everything? For sure not. Huh? No, that's not true. I'm just saying that you did something wrong a whole year and you can ask forgiveness. It's amazing. It's so nuts. It's so not understandable. No, if you say, by the way, and I haven't have seen yesterday, it says that, 1 second, I was learning with my grandson yesterday, Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. I was learning Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, if a person sins and says, I'm going to sin and then I'm going to do tshuva, so the Mishnah says, you won't, Hashem will stop you from being able to do tshuva. Right, you'll never be able to do tshuva on that avera. So they ask Akasha, why does it say that? It should say, that ain't a mechaper. In other words, if you do tshuva, it's not going to be accepted. It's a very funny lashon. The lashon of the mission is, if you're going to do tshuva, no, if you do an aveir and you say, I'm going to do tshuva, so the mission says, you're never going to be able to get to do that tshuva. It should say, you do tshuva, it won't be accepted, because later on the mission says, if you say, I'm going to do an aveir and Yom Kippur is going to be mechaper, ain't Yom Kippur mechaper. Yom Kippur will not be mechaper. So it should say, if you say, I'm going to do tshuva, I'm going to eat chazer, then I'm going to do tshuva, your tshuva is not accepted. It's not what it says. It says you won't get a chance to do tshuva. So ask Akasha, why does it say that? The Teretz is amazing. The Teretz is that if you do tshuva, it'll still be accepted. That's the power. It'll still be accepted. So the Mishnah is saying, Hashem's not going to help you do tshuva. But lemaisa, if somehow you do an aveira, you say, I'm going to do this aveira, and then I'm going to do tshuva, somehow you get to do tshuva, it'll be accepted. That's the power of tshuva. It's nuts. It's crazy. Do we have a karas hatayif for that? That God's giving me an eraser right before Yom Kippur, right before my judgment day, he says, get rid of the evidence? Imagine, God forbid, you killed somebody and there's a gun with your fingerprints and everything, and the judge says to you, listen, if you say you're sorry, we're going to take the gun and we're going to throw it into the Atlantic Ocean. You'd be like, I'm sorry. No evidence. And that's what you have every Yom Kippur. You don't accept it. So really, every single yontif that we have is based on a karas hatayif. So just want to talk about this for a minute because it's mind-boggling. So I did some homework on our karas hatayif. Maybe we're going to write a book on our karas hatayif instead of spiritual DNA. We'll see. So first of all, let's talk about our karas hatayif for a minute and just where you see this in the Megillah. Number one, he's called Haman HaAgagi. Why is he called Haman HaAgagi? Should we call Haman HaRasha? Let's call Agagi. Who is Agag? Agag was the king of Amalek when Shmuel told Shaul to wipe out Amalek. So Agag was the king and his wife. And Shmuel had Rachmanis. And Shaul had Rachmanis. And he didn't kill him. He took all the animals. He was supposed to kill all the animals and the king and everything. He brought them all back. He decided he was going to kill them publicly. And the animals he was going to bring up as korbanos, which was a frum yetzahara. In other words, really, I would have agreed with it if I was part of Klai Yisrael at that time. Why should we take the animals and just kill them and throw them to the dogs? All these animals, they're kosher animals. Let's bring them for a carpenter Hashem. It made sense what Shaul did, right? Hashem said, if you want to be a leader, you have to follow instructions. You can't use what you think is better or what is worse. That was his big mistake. And what happened? That night, they were sorcerers. That night, Agag, who was the king, turned himself into an animal, made his queen pregnant. Then I guess he turned back into a human and Shaul killed him. But meanwhile, she got pregnant, she got away, and she had a baby. And that's how Amalek continued. So why does the Megillah call him Haman HaAgagi? His father wasn't Agag. Haman wasn't Agag's son. It's Machlokes, but most people that he wasn't Agag's son. Because the Megillah continually tells us why Haman had to be destroyed. Because he was Agagi. Because, imagine, Haman had two reasons to have a karas hatayif to Mordechai. One, he was starving. You know the story that they were in the army, and he had no water left, and he gave them his water. Mordechai gave him his water, saved his life. He became his Eved, but Lemaisa, he saved his life. Two, Agag was saved by Shaul. Shaul came from Shevet of Binyamin. And Mordechai was from the Shiva, the Ishimini, he came from Shevet Binyamin. Haman came from Agag. So the least, Haman had everyone bowing down to him. He shouldn't have even wanted Mordechai to bow down to him because Mordechai's great-grandfather, Shaul, and Mordechai and Esther came directly from Shaul, saved his grandfather. He wouldn't have been alive, Haman, if it wasn't for Shaul. So Haman should have said, listen, Mordechai, you're from Binyamin, you're from Shaul. You know, Shaul saved my grandfather's life. You know, I don't need you to, but you shouldn't bow down to me. But he was an agagi. He was the opposite. He was a kafir type. So that's why the Megillas Esther keeps telling us, who was he? He was an agagi, and he still wanted to kill. So he was a kafir type. He had to die. He had to be wiped out. Timcha Zecher Amalek. Now Amalek had the same midah. Very interesting. I learned this a long time ago. What did Amalek really do wrong going to war against Klal Yisrael? What did he really do wrong? Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. What did they really do wrong? They went to war against them. What they did wrong was like this. At the Brit Ben Absara, when Hashem told Avram Avinu, you might have to reset that up. When Hashem told Avram Avinu to, let him reset it up. What? Okay, so put it back in the Yitzhar. Doesn't want me to say this pshat. We'll wait till you reset it up. Take a break. Oh, Torah Anytime is on. Be careful what you say. What? You can edit it? Okay. Anyway, so listen. Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, it's broken.
Anybody else have a phone?
It's broken?
No, it's on.
It's back on?
Yeah, it's turning
on. Okay. Just give it a moment. We'll. Station identification. All those who are listening on 97.5, we'll be right back on in a minute. We're waiting for Carl Usher to be back on.
Cool. No, we need
the call. Oh, you got it.
You want to do it?
He has to get connected to the phone.
Oh, the phone has that special program?
No, the phone, no, you just have to call that number. You got it?
So you won't need this one.
Doesn't matter which phone. So easy. We got to get that clip. That little clip. Okay, we're good. Okay. Anyway, so what was the big avera that Amalek did? Why did it have to be wiped out? Timcha zecher Amalek. And the answer is that by the Bris Ben Absarim, really, Esav was supposed to be the Bechor. Esav was born first. He was supposed to be the Bechor. The Bechor of Yitzchak was supposed to go into Mitzrayim. That's the way it was written. When Yaakov bought the Bechaira, so he took on that he's getting the Bechaira and the Bracha at the same time his children are going to suffer in Mitzrayim. So Klal Yisrael went into Mitzrayim for 400 years, but ended up 210 years. We went into Mitzrayim, our kids were thrown into the Yamsuf, we were Avadim, we were murdered, we were Avadim. We come out of Mitzrayim, we took the hit for Esav. For Amalek, for all of them, because they were supposed to go into Mitzrayim. So the second we come out of Mitzrayim, the first place we get to is Rephidim. Who attacks us? Amalek. What are you doing? We just sat for 210 years in Mitzrayim for you. Our kids died instead of yours. So the first thing you do is you attack us. You should be coming here to say thank you to us that we took the hit for you. So they were kafwi. Amalek was mamish. The worst kafwi tells you could be a man. I'm sitting in jail. This guy sat in jail for them. And then you get out of jail, he punches you in the face. Well, I just sat in jail for you for 210 years. Are you crazy? Punch me in the face? Try to kill me? Right? That's what they did. And that was their big avera. To do a kafwi toiv. And Hashem said, a kafwi toiv timcha zecher Amalek. That cannot be in on this world. In fact, we see by Adam. Right? We see by Adam that a kofi toy, the Tzelem Elikim, the image of God that a person has, right? And that's not just a Jew, because everyone has a Tzelem Elikim, not just Jews, Goyim also. What's a Tzelem Elikim that a Goy has? And the answer is, the Tzelem Elikim that we all have is to show appreciation. Hashem is very makbid, and I'll bring you many riots, that he's very into showing appreciation. So what happened? So when Hashem came to Adam, and he said, who gave you from the tree, right? So he said, what did Adam say? Did you eat from the tree? It says Rashi. Here he was kaifer toiv. How was he kaifer toiv? He told Hashem the truth. How did I get from the tree? The woman gave me from the tree. He added a word that he shouldn't have added, right? He said, the woman, he should have just said, the woman. He said, the woman that you gave to be good for me, she ended up being bad for me. You didn't do good, Hashem. You gave me someone, right? It's sort of like if you give a kid ice cream and they smear it all over their clothing, and they're like, why'd you do that? And they're like, because you gave me the ice cream. Right, I gave you ice cream, you should eat it, enjoy it, right? So that's a kafwi toiv. Imagine you give a kid ice cream and then he throws it in your, and then he puts it all over the carpet. And you're like, why are you doing this? If you wouldn't give me the ice cream, I wouldn't have done it. That's what Adam did. That's what Adam did here. And therefore he was a kafwi toiv. So we learn something very important after that. And it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you are no longer a human being. Because Telem Aleichem is someone who has appreciation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you're going to eat through working, since you don't appreciate anyway what I give you. So now you're going to have to work. Until now you're getting it for free. So you don't appreciate it, now you're going to have to work for it. Why? You're dirt, and you come from dirt, and you're going to go to dirt. God, you trash talking me? Like, why? What? Call me dirt? Right? And the Torah says, yes, until now he called him Adam. So you're a person. But what's the difference between Afa and Adama? Anyone here know? So we're called an Adam. Why are we called an Adam? Anyone know why we're called an Adam? Adam comes from the word Adama.
Dirt is solid. Afa is loose.
Adama, you plant in it, right? It grows. Potential, growth. Adama, growth. Adama has growth. Anything you put in, you put our tomato seed, you get tomatoes. Put cucumber seeds, you get cucumbers. You put oranges in, you get oranges. Adama, a human being is an Adam. He has potential. This pasuk is huge. Pasuk says a person who does not have hakaras hatoiv, is a kafui toiv, he has no appreciation, you have no potential to be anything. You're afar. What's afar? Afar is dust. Dust, nothing grows from dust. Dust, not, you can take dust and plant in it, nothing will happen. The opposite, the difference between Adama and Afar is Adama has growth and Afar has no growth. So when he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the woman that you gave me, look what you gave me, right? Look what she did. And he became a Kafui Tov. Hashem said, really? You're a Kafui Tov? You came from dirt, you are dirt, you're nothing. You're not anymore my Tzelem. A person who has no appreciation, you're no longer with Tzelem Aleichem. So Hashem said, he wasn't trash talking, he's telling him a fact. You are no more my tzelem. You are no more my image. You're not in my image. You have no growth potential. A person who doesn't appreciate, you have no growth potential. You're Afa, you're going to Afa, you come from Afa. And then at the end, when Hashem says to name his wife, and he says, Chavahi, ki aim kol chai, even though she caused all the death in the world, he focused on the pain that a woman has when she gives birth, and every single month she has a period, and all the stuff that she has to go through to bring a child into the world. And he focused on it, he says, ki aim kol chai, I'm calling you Chava because Lamaisa, I didn't get that curse. You got that curse. And I didn't get that curse. So I'm focusing on your pain. I'm focusing on what you have to go through to bring a child into the world. Right? So he corrected his lack of Akar Satoiv. Even though she caused him to die. Right? But he appreciated what she... Akar Satoiv doesn't mean that the person only does you good. It means that you appreciate the good that the person does. Not that they only do you good. Right? So it's unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the next pasuk, after he calls a chava, to psikum later, v'yom Hashem alikim, hein ha'adam. Behold, he's back to being a person. He's back to having potential. A person who doesn't have a curse, the Torah has no potential. A person who doesn't appreciate his wife, and doesn't appreciate his parents, and doesn't appreciate, will in the end not appreciate God. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, something that I
appreciate
came
it just in your head, just to realize that you have to actually do something.
No, you have to show a curse, the to appreciate what someone does to me, then slam across the face. That's not across the type. That's
no,
you have to show it.
A passive thing.
No, you don't have to continue every 2 seconds. Say thank you. But you definitely you have to inside. You have to feel thank you, and you also have to show it to them. Yes, you do have to show it to them.
You get a brand new car from somebody. You don't see anything. You think in your head.
No, you have to say something. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not good enough just to think. Right. Right. So we see from here, so this was a very, very important point that in Megillas Esther, that this Achashverosh had this one thing that look at his reaction, like, he saved my life, my Yikar Gdula. Well, he didn't just say, like, what did we do for him? He's like, what great, unbelievable thing did we do for him? He was very into Sharon HaKaras HaTayv, and Amalek was the opposite. Amalek is the opposite. Amalek is, here we are, we suffer for you, and then the first thing you do is attack us? Timcha Zecher Amalek, Hashem said. You got to get that out of the world. Those people who don't appreciate, what's the opposite of appreciate?
Unappreciative.
Well, that's not the word I'm looking for.
Ungrateful.
Unappreciative, ungrateful. I think there's a different verb, but whatever, okay. Anyway, so let's go a little weiter. Okay, so that's Amalek. And that's Haman. Now, we also see that Yisro heard something, and he decided when he heard that he wants to be a Jew. He's going to be Magayer. What did he hear? So Rashi says, Kriyas Yamsuf and Muhammad Amalek. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and he heard about the war of Amalek. So the Kasha is like this. I understand why he became a Jew. Kriyas Yamsuf, that was huge, right? Kriyas Yamsuf, wow, I want to be one of that part of that nation. But what Muhammad Amalek was a war. They had wars all the time. Why did that bring him? Why did Muhammad Amalek bring him to Judaism? So the Teretz is like this. And why are they both together? What does one have to do with the other? And the Teretz is like this. When he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, so Yisro heard Hashem said like this. What does it say in the Pasuk? It says, Baruch Hu said, they're surrounded. They have the Mitzrim on one side. They have the Yamsuf on the other side. Because Baruch Hu says, V'atem tacharishim, you sit quiet. I will destroy Egypt. You don't do anything. So, when he heard about this, Yisro, he says, that's pretty huge, right? The Jews did nothing. God did the whole thing. They didn't lift their hands. They didn't pick up a sword. So, okay, so they have a very good God. He does miracles for them. They come out of the Yamsuf, and they get attacked by Amalek, or before, whatever. They get attacked by Amalek. And he says, what happens by Amalek? Hashem did. They went to war. They went to war. Swords, right? With Joshua, they went to war, and they knocked them off. He said, one second. Either, if they're warriors, let them fight the Egyptians with bows and arrows and swords, if they're warriors. If they're not warriors, then why God just open up the earth and swallow up the Amalekis? Why? One you fight, and one you sit. Either fight them both, or sit them both. And the Teretz is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, unbelievable, Atem Tacharishin, you don't touch the triumph. Because at the end of the day, Lamaisa, even after they killed your children and they made you Avadim, you lived there, you multiplied there, you ate there, you slept there. If you're going to kill a Mitzri, and they gave you all their money before you left Mitzrayim, if you're going to kill a Mitzri, if you're going to kill someone that you stayed by and lived by him, then that's a kafui toiv, and it's going to change who you are. So when it comes to the Mitzrim, don't touch them. I don't owe them any hakaras hatayv. I'll wipe them out. You're a Jew. You're not allowed to touch him. Even because you lived in his land, you can't touch him. Came to Amalek. Amalek never did anything for them. Hashem said, now you have to go to war. Them, it's a mitzvah to kill. Them, you can't touch. And we see that, very interesting, we see that by Ammon and Moab. Right? Lo yavo Ammon u Moab cannot marry, the men cannot marry into the Jewish nation. Why not? So it says that when the Jews went by, they asked them for food and they asked them for water and they said no. So I always learned, until I prepared this year, I always learned that we don't want in our spiritual DNA a nation that doesn't give you to eat or give you to drink because we're Balei Chasadim. Is that a reason that they can never marry into Judaism? No. Do you know what the reason is? Because where did Ammon and Moab come from? Lot. Lot with his daughters had two children, Ammon and Moab. The Jews went by and they were hungry? One second. When Lot was captured, they came from Lot. When Lot was captured by the five kings, by the four kings, right? He was a captive. Avraham Avinu took Eliezer with him, right? Or his 318 soldiers, went up against this huge army, right? Could have gotten wiped out just to save Lot. Sent Malachim later on into Sodom to get Lot out of Sodom so that he doesn't get killed with all the Sodomites. From him saving Lot, Lot goes up into a cave with his daughters, ends up getting his daughters pregnant. Who's born? Moab, Ammon, and Moab. So a nation is now coming, Avram's children, who saved you twice, who went to war to save you and saved you coming out of Sodom. And you're a kafri tov? These two nations, if it wasn't for Avram Avinu, you wouldn't even be in this world. You would have been dead with Sadaim. And you're not giving them to eat? You don't have a Karas HaTayv? You cannot be part of Klal Yisrael. That nation cannot mix with our DNA. A nation that's a Kafri Tov, that's ungrateful, cannot mix with our DNA, just like a Molech, just like what he did, just like what Haman did, the same thing did from Agagi, and Shaul saved your grandfather, and now you're going to kill his grandson. You can't exist.
Were they aware of the history?
What? Of course they were aware of the history. Yes, they were very aware of the history. Absolutely. No, they were Kafri Tov. And we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the Parsha Balak, it's in the Parsha, terrible Balak with a Russia. He hired Bilam to curse us, to destroy us. He sent down his girls and 24,000 Jews died in Magefa. How could Hashem call a Parsha in the Torah Balak? We don't even have a Parsha Torah called Moshe. Or Yaakov, or Avram, or Yitzchak. Right? Yisro we have. And Pinchas. And Pinchas' name is also HaKadosh HaTayv. Because Baruch Hu says, because you saved Klal Yisro from the Megefa. It was also HaKadosh HaTayv. Yisro says, why is his name in the Torah? Because he came up with that idea that Moshe Rabbeinu should have judges. Also has HaKadosh HaTayv. But Balak? So Russia. Yisro was a tzaddik. Pichas was the tzaddik, Balak. So the Medrash says that Hashem said that even though Balak hired Bilam to curse us, but in the end, what did Bilam do? He blessed us. Matov Alech Yaakov. So even if he had the wrong thoughts, but at the end of the day, we got a bracha from him, you have to name a pasha after him. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu was into our Karas HaTayv. Even though he meant to do the worst thing to us, but something good came out of it, you have to have a Karas HaTayv to him. Unbelievable. Okay, let's go on. We all know Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hit the sand. He couldn't hit the water, even though sand and water has no feelings. But it changes the person. It's so true. Person who has appreciation. If you read all the stories of Gedolim, there's such appreciation for anything that you ever did for them. They would never forget. If you gave them a ride from a wedding, they would say, oh, I remember, 5 years ago, you gave me a ride. Thank you. Did I thank you good enough? To a very makbid, people who are Tzelem Alekim, people who are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very, very makbid, they're very strict when it comes to showing appreciation. Listen to this. When I think it's in the end of Parshas, either it's in Pinchas or the end of Parshas Balak. So when the Jews went to war against Midian, after we lost 24,000 in Magefa because of them, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go take the Jewish nation and go to war with Midian and wipe them out. You want me to read it from inside? It's worth reading from inside. This is not understandable. This is like amazing. Listen to this. Somebody point this out to me. Let's go. Let's take a look inside. The end of Parshas Balak. I believe that's where the war is. Oh, it may not be written here. It's a different parasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to leave Klal Yisrael and... Oh, listen to this. Sororas habijanim, hikisim aisam. Hashem said to Moshe, harass the Midianites, right? Smite them, kill them, hikisim aisam, because they caused you all these problems. Number one, Dvar Par, and also Kazvi Bas Nisi Midian. So he gave Moshe Rabbeinu that commandment. And then, who goes to war against them? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go. Who goes? Aaron HaKohen goes. Aaron HaKohen takes Klal Yisrael. Let's see where it says it. Aaron takes Klal Yisrael and he goes to war. So the kasha is, How could that be? Hashem told Moshe to go, and then Moshe sent Aaron. How can Moshe send Aaron? Because Moshe gave him a straight commandment that he should go to war. So it's brought down that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't go. I cannot, even though Hashem told me to go fight them, I can't go. Why? When I ran away from Mitzrayim, I came to Midian, and they put me up for all those years. I ran there, that was my place of exile, and they put, I cannot kill the people who kept me in their land all those years. So he sent Aaron. So they ask Akasha, how come after that, it doesn't say in the Pasuk that Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, what'd you do? I told you to go. He says, Akash Baruch Hu is maskim. He didn't listen to God. God said, Moshe Rabbeinu, go. Moshe Rabbeinu made a cheshbon and said, I can't go. I can't go. I live by these people. Even though they did such a terrible thing now, I can't go. I live by them. He told Aaron to go. Aaron went. Moshe didn't go. Akash Baruch Hu didn't complain to Moshe. Akash Baruch Hu said, I'm maskim. He's right. He's right. Now you can ask me, then why did Hashem tell him to go? Maybe it was a test, whatever it was. He's right. He can't go. He lived there. You can't kill somebody if you live by him. Even if the guy's the biggest Russian in the world. You can't do it. Why? Because it changes who you are. It changes. You hit water, and water saved you. Water has no feelings. It changes who you are. Now, we're going to see... what's it called? We're going to see in here, very, very interesting, that he ripped... when he heard the news, when Mordechai heard the news, he ripped his clothing. So it's very, very, very unbelievable. Madrash. There's a million of them, but let me just see what it says here about ripping the clothing. Beginning of the parak. This is even scarier than anything I said yet tonight. Mordechai knew everything that happened. And he ripped, Mordechai ripped his clothing. Why he ripped his clothing? Because of what he heard, right? So he says here, the Medrash says, listen to this. Vayikra Mordechai Esbegadov. Now this is, we're talking about clothing. Why do you have to rip his clothing? Wasn't enough that he wore sackcloth and ashes? What do you have to rip your clothing for? Rav Pinchas b'shem Rav Oishi Omar, Binyamin garam l'shvatim likara. When they found the cup, right? When Yosef found the cup in Binyamin's sack, so it says there, by yikul slumaisam. All the Shvatim, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, they all ripped their clothing because they realized that they're going to lose Binyamin now. So they all did Kriya. Lefichach, therefore, Yatzim imenu Mordechai shikaros Yisrael. Because Mordechai came from Binyamin. And Binyamin, because the cup was in his sack, caused all the brothers to rip their clothing. So now Mordechai had to rip his clothing. So the Medrash asks, but what are you talking about? What are you talking about? They can go like Kriya. But Binyamin didn't steal the cup. He didn't do anything wrong. Yosef put the cup there. So what do you mean? Because they ripped their clothing, now, it wasn't Binyamin's fault. He had nothing to do with it, right? So he says like this, listen to this. It comes to teach us the deepness of judgment. If a person causes another person to rip his clothing, right, even though you're right, even though it wasn't your fault, like we see by Binyamin, it wasn't his fault, you're going to have to rip your clothing, or your children are going to have to rip their clothing. You're going to have to pay a price, even if it's not your fault. And we see that... we see by Yaakov Avinu when he stole the bracha. So it says that by Yitzhak Tzaka Gedoila, that Esav screamed a loud scream when he found out that his brother stole it. And we see over here also by Yitzhak Tzaka Gedoila, the same words Umara, that Yaakov had to scream the same thing. And the Medrash says something that it's just so hard to believe, but it's like it's unbelievable that even though Rivka was the one who told her son he was doing kivud avim. He was doing what he was supposed to do. You cause, even though you were doing what you're supposed to do, you caused somebody else pain. You are going to have that pain one day. That is very scary. That's when you're doing it right. You're not causing another kid. You made fun of him in class. You bullied him. You embarrassed somebody. You caused someone pain and you're wrong. No, you're right. You're right. He was doing kivud avim. But because Esav let out such a scream, your children will one day let out such a scream, even if you're right. So imagine if you're a teacher, you have that responsibility, and you're a teacher or a principal, and you're right, the kid deserves to get thrown out. You're right, he did a bad thing. You should know. You throw him out, your child will get thrown out one day, or your grandchild will get thrown out one day. But what do you mean? He was very bad. You're right. But in Shemayim, it's you get paid. You see, what did Yaakov do wrong? His mother told him, get the Bechaira, right? He went, he did what he was supposed to do. And in the end, Esav screamed. Who cares? He's a lowlife. He stole the Bechaira. Wasn't even his. You caused someone to scream? Many, 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 how many generations, how many thousands of years later, Mordechai, the grandson, great, 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 great grandson of Yaakov Avinu, had to let out such a scream. What a pachad we all have to cause somebody else pain when you're right. I don't even want to think about when you're wrong. What do you mean I had to throw him out? I had to yell at him. I had to throw him out of shul. He was talking shul. You're right. You're right. But you're going to pay back. You're going to get paid back for it. So that's the same words. The same words that were used by Esav. How careful a person has to be when it comes to cause somebody else pain. But what do you want, man? I was right. That's right. You were right. You're still going to pay for it. You're right. You're right. You're right. You were 100% right. You're going to pay for it. You cause somebody else pain, even when you're right, you're going to pay for that pain. It's very, very, very scary. Very, very scary. So there's a very famous story with ripping of the clothing. Very, very famous story. And the famous story is with David HaMelech. So in Malachim, it says that David HaMelech, he wore clothing and he was freezing, he was shaking. No matter how many blankets and pillows and wool and furs, and no matter how much clothing they would put on David HaMelech, he was shivering and he was shaking. So Rashi says why? So Rashi says there's two reasons. One, it's machlokes why. One, that he saw a malach, which caused his blood to freeze, and from that day on he was shaking. But what most of the mefarshim, what happened was that David HaMelech snuck in to Shaul HaMelech's. They were enemies, and he wanted to show Shaul that he's not his enemy. So he snuck into his tent while he was sleeping. He snuck into the whole Jewish encampment. Shaul was the king. And he snuck in, and he crawled up to him while he was sleeping, and he took his knife, and he cut the top of Shaul's shirt. And he left a message. Just want you to know that if I was that close, that I could cut the top of your shirt, I could have cut your throat. So I'm trying to show you that I'm not your enemy, but I was that close, I could have killed you. I cut your clothing. So he didn't want to hurt him. So he cut his clothing to show him, if I could cut your clothing, I could have cut your neck. That was his siman. So Rashi says he was punished because you have no right to ruin someone's shirt. So it says, you ruined the clothing, the thing that you ruin will never be able to help you. Because it's a lack of hakaras hatov. Clothing is made to wear and to keep you warm, not to cut, to show somebody that you could have cut his neck. Now, we would think just the opposite. He's a big tzaddik, right? For the rest of his life, he shivered. What's going on over here? What's going on over here? We also know, there's a Gemara that says, that the second base HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? Because they didn't make brachas before they learned. That's what it says. They didn't make brachas before they learned. What does that mean? They learned, they knew kol ha-Torah kula, it says. They didn't make brachas before they learned. So what's going on over here? So the Torah says, and this was brought down by the Mashkiach of Meir Yeshiva, the Alta Meir Yeshiva. And he said something unbelievable. He said that if you do something against Teva, then Teva can no longer work for you. So the Teva that Hashem created in the world, as long as you have appreciation for it, Teva's nature, what they call nature, as long as you have appreciation for what God gave you for that nature, then the nature works. Then the the fruit is healthy for you, and the clothing keeps you warm, and whatever it is. But the minute you don't have appreciation, the minute you cut that hakar satoy, again, it doesn't have God. If it's unappreciated, then it's offer, then it has no potential. So the clothing has a potential to keep you warm, right? That's what it has. The potential of clothing is to keep you warm. But if you rip that clothing, right, that means that you're not appreciative of what it is, then that clothing can't help you anymore. It becomes offer. It loses its potential. So what happened in the times of the Gemara? They learned more than we learn. They didn't appreciate that Hashem gave them the Torah. Well, how do you show appreciation by making a bracha? Bracha to Hashem, bless you Hashem, l'kein b'chalam. They didn't make brachas. They didn't make brachas on their Torah. So that the tema of the Torah, which makes you a better person, brings you closer to Hashem, gives you kedusha, Torah does everything. If you don't make a bracha on it, then it becomes afar. Then it has no potential. It loses its kedusha, it loses everything. It loses its potential. And that's what happened. They didn't make brachas on Torah, so even though they learned and learned and learned, they didn't do anything. You cut clothing, and you had a right to cut the clothing. You had a right to cut the clothing. But you cut clothing, that showed that you don't appreciate clothing. You should have come up with a different idea, put a string on, or write him a letter, whatever it is. If you cut clothing, you ruined a shirt, it means you don't have an appreciation for a shirt. No longer can the shirt world or the clothing world keep you warm. It's no more Adam. It's no more, it has no more potential. It became afar. It became zero. It has nothing. So therefore, no matter what clothing he put on, right? Clothing has a feeling. He cut clothing so it's angry at him. So it's like, I'm not gonna keep you warm anymore. The answer is no. It lost its ability to keep its potential. Its potential is to keep you warm. So what you see from all this is that Hakar Satoiv, right, is the basis of pretty much everything. So I came up with an idea, and I think that Mitzvah Hashem, we're gonna put a lot of work into it. So you know, there's the Chofetz Chaim Foundation, and they put out a lot of work and books and workbooks and everything about Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. And of course, I'm not saying that Lashon Hara is not big. Lashon Hara is very big, and Chofetz Chaim spent his whole life on Lashon Hara. It's very, very big. But I think today Lashon Hara is very big, but we have to focus on, there's something else that needs a lot more focus. Not a lot more. A lot of focus. Not a lot more. There's no comparison. You need that, but you need this also. And I think that there are three major problems in Judaism today. One is relationship with God, that Torah became a subject and people go through the rote and they go through it, put on their tzitzis, put on their tefillin, whatever, they can't wait to get out and there's no feelings towards it and it just became a subject. That's the huge, huge problem in Klal Yisrael today. The other problem, of course, is the lack of respect that husbands and wives have for each other. The terrible problems that we have in Shalom Bayis where people get married and a month later they're divorced, or just the disrespect that husbands have for wives and wives have for husbands. So there's a very major problem in Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis is a very big problem. Being close to Hashem is a very big problem. And the number three problem, I mean, I don't know which is bigger, but they're all big, very big problems, is the relationships with our children. Where children just don't get along with their parents. They don't want to talk to them. They don't talk to them. They don't give them any information in their lives. They're totally disconnected from their parents, their grandparents, and everybody else. And then on a much smaller, you know, just respect for other human beings, respect as a boss, you know, that all that stuff is out the window. So what can we do? I was thinking, what can we do to correct them all with one thing? So Lashon Hara is not going to correct your relationship with your parents. It's going to correct a lot of things. It'll help in Shalom Bayis. But if you don't talk Lashon Hara, you still, these kids, a lot of them don't talk Lashon Hara, but they just won't talk to their parents. And they don't have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that we need to do a foundation called the Hakara Satoy Foundation. And to put out books with many, there are millions of stories of Hakara Satoy. But books are very important. But I think what we really need to do, and that's something that I'm going to be working very hard on, is to put out a workbook for all of us, starting when the kid's like 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, and of course it'll all be different depending on what age you are, and it'll be a calendar sort of every single day, and in there, one item, Hakar Satoiv, at the end of the day before you go to sleep, something that I appreciate that God did for me today, something I appreciate that my father did for me today, something I appreciate my mother did for me today, something I appreciate that my husband did for me today, something I appreciate that my wife did for me today, and then something I appreciate that I did for me today. Now, could you imagine a kid who's 5 years old who every day before he goes to sleep writes down one thing Hashem did for him, one thing his mommy did, one thing his tati did, one thing his sister did, one thing he did, right? Could you imagine sitting Rosh Hashanah and opening that book and going through your pages and just what, talking about one of the major mental problems today is low self-esteem, social disorders. If you have such a book and you read such a book of all, there's only good in that book. There's no bad, right? And you had the chance to sit. I can't even imagine me sitting Rosh Hashanah this year if I had such a book and just reading every single day. Oh my God. I forget. Well, if I had that flat and this guy, David, came to pick me up at the airport and this and that and all that, and I wrote it down in my book, and I'm like, I got to call him and tell him Happy Rosh Hashanah. But I don't remember what a guy did for me 7 months ago, right? Or it'll change your life. It'll change the world. It'll change your relationship with your parents. It'll change your relationship with your wife. It'll change your relationship with Hashem. And imagine a kid starts doing this at 5, 6 years old, and you have this your whole life. You could look at, I'm 56, I could look at when I was 40 years old. You think I remember what anyone did for me when I was 40 years old that year? Imagine I could just open a book and look at it. It would be amazing. And of course, you can, an app, right? So not as a joke, no, 100%. Because Lamaisa, some people won't write it down, but they'll have it on their internet, and yeah. And they'll have an app, and they can look at it, and you'll come to Rosh Hashanah, you'll see, oh my God, look at all this good. Look at all this good. It'll change. It's a game changer. It's a huge game changer, because it'll fix the Shalom bias, it'll fix the relationship with our parents, it'll fix definitely the relationship with God, and it'll fix the relationship with myself. Game changer. It's a game changer. And I, Emir Hashem, I hope to approach Arch Girl, other people, and I'm going all for it. Same as the same idea as the foundation for Lashon Hara, foundation for Hakaras HaTov. Because without it, you're afar. Nothing's going to happen. Even if you learn Torah, whatever you're going to do, if you don't have appreciation for it, you don't have appreciation for what you have, then Chas V'Shalom, you're an Amalek, you're a Mayav, you're afar. You're nothing. You're nobody. You have no growth. You have no growth potential. That's very, very true. Don't you want to work for someone who appreciates you? Don't you want to be married to someone who appreciates you? Don't you want to feel like your children appreciate you? Don't you want to learn how to appreciate God? You don't have a cross to tie for everything. You know, I don't remember, when I got hurt and I thought I wouldn't be able to walk for 6 months, and 2 weeks later I was walking. I don't remember all these things. I didn't write them down. Achashverosh taught us something very, very important. It has to be written down. If it wasn't written in his book, he would have forgotten about it. Sefer Zichroinos. And I think that you'd have a right to sit on Yom Kippur if you wrote in a book Hakaras HaTov to Hashem every day, then you have a right to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has to have written in the book everything that you did good every day. Asmida Kenegemida. And you sit on Yom Kippur and said, I didn't write one bad thing in my book about anybody. I just wrote the good things they did for me. Hashem, you cannot look at any of the bad things in my book, because I didn't look at any of the bad things in my book. Game life changer, man. Game life changer. For the whole Klal Yisrael, for you, for your marriages, for your parents, for everybody. So we're going to go for it. I think it would change the whole world. I really do. To figure out how to make this calendar, to do it right, to do it professionally. And that's a very easy thing to fill in. I would love to look at when I was 13 years old, what was going on. I'm serious. I don't remember anybody. There's probably a boy there that saved me once from being in big trouble, and I never thanked him. How am I ever going to thank him? I don't remember who he is. It's never too late to start. So I'm saying this we could start at a 5-year-old level, and then depending on what level you are, it's a different type of book that you have. And you could have a lesson a day in Hakaras HaTov. It would be amazing. Be amazing. I'm so excited about it, I can't tell you. I think that's a mitzvah Hashem. It's going to be a very big push. And we're going to talk. I think it's something that you see from what you see. Because that's what Hashem wants. It's all he wants. He wants us to appreciate each other. Not about him. He wants us to appreciate each other. So yeah, Taka, the kids are like, I've talked to 16, 15-year-old girls who have told me, I have nothing to thank my parents for. I don't even thank them that they brought me into this world. I wish they would have done. If they were written their book starting at 5 years old, they would see there's a lot of stuff when they were 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 that they forgot about, and 9 that they forgot about, what their parents did for them. That they wanted something and their father went out and got it, whatever it is. If it's written down in the Sefer Zechonos, and then imagine Achashverosh. You're much better than Achashverosh. My Yikar Gdula! What did I do for this guy when I was 16 years old and I was in trouble and he got me out of the trouble? My Yikar Gdula! I can't sleep unless I pay him back. We don't remember. We never wrote it down. We have no idea. We forgot. We said thank you. We forgot. Achashverosh, that low life. Low life. Everything that anyone does for me, I want his name, the date, and what he did for me. Save Klal Yisrael. So Esther and Mordechai said, you have to write it down. And that's why I feel the Seder, all the Kabbalah Yashar that we've learned, the Seder and that, it has to be so holy. And you have to have karpas. You have to have salt water. You have to have morah. You have to have matzah. Give me a break. You have to have all this stuff. When I put my radish in the salt water, I'm thinking about tears. It's pretty good, you know? What's all this stuff? And the answer is, we're using symbolisms to show our Karas HaTov. And every single one of these things. Even on the Marah. V'yemaros Chayeyem. That's the bracha to Haman. The Marar made us into a nation. We came down 70 people, and we left a nation. So there's Akaras HaTov to the Mitzrim. You can't kill them. They're standing there by the Yam. They're shooting spears and arrows. They want to wipe us out. And Hashem's like, don't you lift your hand and touch them. Don't you touch a Mitzri. What do you mean? He took my kid. He threw him in the Nile River. Paro killed our kids and bathed in the blood. And I shouldn't touch him. No, you ate his food. You lived in Goshen. You lived in his country. Don't touch him. I'll take care of them. Wow. Huge. That's what Purim is, and that's what Purim has to lead us into Nisan, and that's what we have to work on in these 4 weeks before we sit at that Seder. So we know how to say. Maybe for the next 4 weeks, at least write in a book at night what you feel Hashem did good for you that day. And let me tell you something. There'll come days. We will say, Rebbe, I had nothing to write in my book. And that's why we're going to have to put out a book on understanding what we have to have our Karas HaTov for. That in itself is screaming at us that there's something very wrong. If you have a whole day and you can't find one thing that God did good for you that day, or if you're married and at the end of the day you can't find one good thing your wife did, and you don't have a good marriage, you're in big trouble. It means that you're taking her for granted. And if she can't write something you did good, it means she's taking you for granted. And if your kids can't write something you did, you're taking them for granted. And you know what? There wouldn't be anything wrong with a parent writing down what his kids did for him that day. You know, my son did very well on his test, and it made me happy. And I appreciate that, and I thanked him. It changes the whole world. It changes families, it changes Klal Yisrael, it changes everything. And that whole thing I got, this whole idea, from learning the Midrashim on Megillas Esther, because that's what the whole Purim stands for. Appreciating what you don't see. Appreciating an Esther. Surely if you could do that, you could do Nisan. You can do Adar, you could do Nisan. You can do Nisan doesn't mean you can do Adar. That you appreciate all the big stuff that a lot of people appreciate, but it's the little stuff that you don't see. It's the stuff that you take for granted. There's so many stories, I don't have in my head right now, so many stories of things that people do that Hashem runs, it's a crazy world. You have to just tell you something that happened today. So, I don't know where it's going to go, but it's like, oh my God, you're the man. You are the man. Listen to this. I had a kid in my class. He's now 23 years old. He was in my class when he was 12. So he was in my class, my eighth grade, 11 years ago. I totally lost contact with him. I don't know. I have nothing to do with him. I lost contact, my fault, whatever. He was in my class. We weren't, I was already in my years, 11 years ago, I was already not the same Rebbe that I was when I was very young. So, 97.5, right? Hidabrut gets a phone call today from a guy. So the guy who runs Hidabrut picks up the phone, and the guy says to him, or it was today or yesterday, remember Wallerstein speak on your radio station? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, oh my God, I haven't seen my Rebbe in a long time, 10 years, 11 years. He says, I have to tell you something. I live out in the islands. Listen to this. He lives out in the island. He says, in the island is a rock station, 97.5. I know that it's a rock and roll station, a really heavy rock and roll. He says, I love rock and roll. She's a worker. He says, and I had a job in Brooklyn. So I always have it on 97.5. But Hidabrut is 97.5 here in Brooklyn. So he got a 97.5 because he listens to rock and roll in Long Island. When he got to Brooklyn, it was on 97.5. He pushes his radio, it was on 97.5 for the rock and roll. He pushes it on to listen to rock and roll, but in Brooklyn it's not rock and roll. In Brooklyn it's Hidabrut. And who's on at that moment that he pushes the button? I am. And he listens to this rabbi and he's like, I know that voice. That's my Rebbe. And he listens to my shir, it was an hour and a half shir. He listens to my whole shir. And he calls up Hidabrut and he says, I want to talk to my Rebbe. And he's not really nothing today, nothing. He doesn't keep anything, right? He says, I want if you can get me Rabbi Wallerstein's number, I want to talk to him. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has this guy, I haven't seen him in 11 years. He's listening to 97.5 rock in Long Island, right? Ends up coming to Brooklyn, turning on the radio. At that moment, it would have been Jewish music, he would have turned it off. At that moment, I'm speaking, and it's my student. There's no way I would ever found him. I forgot about him. We have nothing to do with each other. We weren't that close in class. Whatever. Now, whether I'm going to meet him, he's going to become from. I don't have the end of the story yet, right? The story just started. But look what's going on here. So you could just look at it and say, oh, all right, yeah, it's cool. You know, 97.5 here and there. Because Baruch was turning the channels. He's got this guy who set up. It could be that the only reason he likes 97.5 in the island listening to rock and roll because there's 100 different stations. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that one day that 97.5 is going to have his Rebbe speaking on it. And he's going to meet him and maybe he'll bring him back. Whatever. I don't know the cheshbon yet. I don't know the cheshbon. But I'm like, God, you're the man. I mean, it's crazy. So that would be my book tonight. That's your book. To thank you, Hashem, that you fixed this whole thing up like that. That I found this guy after 11 years. No, it just happened, Mamish, a few hours ago. He called me from Hidabrut. No, the guy from Hidabrut said, well, I don't know if he can give out my number, whatever it was, right? So I said, get me his number. I want to call him. Don't wait till he calls you. He has his number. We never found him. So if you're writing things that, you know, and 2 weeks from now, I'll forget about this. And 10 years from now, I'll surely forget about it. Imagine you open it, Sefer Zechariah, and you're like, oh my gosh, remember that story with the Hidabrut? That guy at 97, right? If you don't write it down, you don't remember these things. And life just becomes a big blah, 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 and you forget everything. So that's the big thing. The king could not sleep. He said, bring me my Sefer Zechariah. So my bracha to us is, it says that in Nisan we were saved, in Nisan Nigal we were redeemed, and in Nisan we will be redeemed again. And I think that the secret to being redeemed is to show appreciation. To Shaka Satoyev, and if we're able to do that between Purim and Pesach and Taka, we will be Nigal and we will see Mashiach. Amen. Amen. Amen.